hey, Joe Casaboni here, and I'm just letting you know that How I Built It is now Streamlined Solopreneur. So if you're seeing new artwork and a new name in your podcast player, that is expected and by design. The new name better reflects the mission and really what has been the mission of this show for the last few years, and I'm really excited about it. All the links in the show notes and howibuilt.it will still work, but the show also has a new home over at streamlined.fm if you want to check it out. Thanks so much for listening.
First thing you really have to figure out, what do you want your life to be? Because I think that we look at many people's lives and we're like, ooh, we want that. And then let's, for example, take an Olympian. Ooh, I want to be an Olympian, right? And then you're like, oh, wait, I can't eat this. I don't have time with family. I don't have my time with friends. Ooh, maybe I don't want that. So I think you need to examine, what are your values and what are you willing to do at all costs to get there?
What do you want your life to look like? Last week, I talked about how not being intentional is kind of like driving a car without the GPS. But goal setting without knowing what you want, that's a bit like driving a car without having a destination in mind. Well, today, Tanya Alvarez is going to help us figure out the destination. You can think of her as your own personal GPS. And much like that Google Maps car that we sometimes see driving around, she's well-traveled and has a ton of experience to back up her advice. From funding her first successful startup with credit cards, to completing a half Ironman and traveling to 42 countries, she's done it all. And now she wants to help you do it too, by sharing her system for prioritizing your goals. Look for these top takeaways. Take the time to define and rank your personal values. Understand how these values shape your goals and prioritize them to ensure alignment with your desired outcomes. Number two, view your goals as hypotheses and break them down into manageable timeframes. This approach provides flexibility for adjustments while promoting focus and effective work periods. And number three, when faced with multiple business ideas or tasks, evaluate them based on effort, impact, and activity. This can help you understand your capacity and prioritize tasks effectively. I really love how she breaks down this framework, so be sure to listen closely to that towards the end of the show. In the pro show, I get to coach Tanya a little bit about storytelling and using stories to leverage what you're teaching. So definitely tune into that too. You can get every episode ad-free, extended with that bonus content over at howibuilt.it/join. And if you want to learn more about Tanya and find all of the show notes, you can head over to howibuilt.it/409. But for now, let's get into the intro and then the interview. Hey, everybody, and welcome to How I Built It, the podcast that helps busy solopreneurs and creators grow their business without spending too much time on it. I'm your host, Joe Casabona, and each week I bring you interviews and case studies on how to build a better business through smarter processes, time management, and effective content creation. It's like getting free coaching calls from successful solopreneurs. By the end of each episode, you'll have 1 to 3 takeaways you can implement today to stop spending time in your business and more time on your business or with your friends, your family, reading, or however you choose to spend your free time. All right, I am here with Tanya Alvarez, owner, founder of Owners Up. Tanya, thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm stoked.
Me too. We had a really good pre-show. And so the first thing that I want to ask you, just like right off the bat, is how do we set a goal?
First thing you really have to figure out, what do you want your life to be? Because I think that we look at many people's lives and we're like, ooh, we want that. And then let's, for example, take an Olympian. Ooh, I want to be an Olympian, right? And then you're like, oh, wait, I can't eat this. I don't have time with family. I don't have my time with friends. Ooh, maybe I don't want that. So I think you need to examine, what are your values And what are you willing to do at all costs to get there? So for me, when I first started my first business at 25, I wanted to have a freedom and travel and make good money, right? And I had the balance of training for marathons, having fun with friends, going traveling. But now that I have kids, my values and what I want is different. I was led before by ego, and now I'm led by legacy.
Ooh, I love that. How are we having the cold open quote so early on? Because I think that's really true, right? We talked about this a little bit in the pre-show, but I feel like a lot of the business advice that you read from influencers and online and everything is very you could append to the end of it. That was redundant, right? That's what append means. You can append to it. If you don't have kids, right? And my favorite example of this right now is Marie Kondo, right? Because there was an article, I think, that came out last year that she abandoned her own Katamari, I think it's called, right? Since having kids, right? She was the Does It Spark Joy lady.
Oh, yeah.
And if it doesn't spark joy, get rid of it. And she has kids now. And she's
all the toys, right?
Yeah. And she's yeah, I've abandoned that. And I'm of course you did. There's no possible way. Kids just accumulate stuff. And so I think if you are following the advice of Alex Hormozi or whoever, some big, huge influencer, but they don't have kids and you have kids or you want kids, you can't build your life like that, right? You can't work 9 to 5, eat dinner, and then work from 6 to 2 a.m. because you're going to get that 5 a.m. wake up call or that 6 a.m. wake up call. Or maybe your kids sleep
great.
Or
it's those mornings, right? It's how's your morning? And it's yeah, it depends if my kids want to put their clothes on in 5 minutes, or is it going to take me a whole story about Elmo and something to get it on?
Oh my gosh, that resonates with me incredibly. My daughter goes to Catholic school. My kids go to Catholic school, but my daughter's the only one who has to wear a uniform right now. And sometimes it's pulling teeth, She's I can't get my socks on. I'm that's weird. You get them on 4 out of 5 days a week. Why not today? The other thing that really sticks out in my mind is that Tim Ferriss interview from a few years ago where it's how are you so productive? He's well, you got to start your day with 2 hours of meditation. And I'm my guy, if I can get 2 minutes to drink my coffee before my kids wake up, I'm having a good day.
Yeah, even James Clear actually said it from Atomic Habits. He's I got this book done, but now it's going to take me longer because I have kids. It's your priorities shift. And sure, there's our parents that have everything set up and, maybe they don't have the resources to stop what they're working because that's their livelihood. But as an entrepreneur, you're creating that. And so what I'm making sure of, and I think that a lot of people don't value constraints. They're freedom should be no constraints. Actually, constraints are the best thing in your life. And what I mean by that is I want to work 30-hour weeks. So that means I can't do everything. And I want to make sure that when I shut off for the day, I'm completely shut off. So I'm really present with my kids, not thinking about, I need to reply back to that person. Oh, yeah, sure, Elmo. And then go back to my thinking in my head. Mm. So the constraints allow me to be resourceful, delegate, and it forces me to make decisions. Because when you don't, you have endless time to overanalyze, be a perfectionist, whatever your inner critic tells you.
Yeah, this is such a great point. Constraints are the best thing in your life. I have a background in software engineering, and we would more or less say the same thing, right? You have these constraints you need to work into, and they could be a blessing, right? Otherwise, you could be spending endless time developing this app or thinking about all the possible ways that it could break and trying to fix for those. But if you know, no, I know reasonably this is going to run on an iPhone and there's a specific group of people who are going to use it and they'll be only able to do these things. Now you know what tasks to prioritize to get this app out the door, this website or whatever out the door. And so I love that. Having constraints around your life are really important. And I think, I didn't mean for this to turn into a parent. This is not a parent versus, right? I had problems when I was single. They were just very different problems. But the perspective shift is different. Your constraints are different, right? Or maybe you...
But actually, though, when I didn't have kids, I knew because I was raised as low income and, you know, went through college and everything. I wanted to travel the world. So what I did is I was like, I booked tickets with the constraints financially, making sure I was like, I'm going to somehow figure it out. And I made it happen. Those constraints allowed me to, oh, shoot, I got to hire people, delegate, have systems. Because when I'm in Peru, hiking Machu Picchu, I said it wrong right now, when I hike it, and there's no internet connection, my team needs to handle any fire possible. So those constraints allowed me to streamline my business.
And you know what? To tell a story from the other side of that coin, right? I was pretty unconstrained. I lived in Scranton, Pennsylvania, which not to denigrate Scranton in any way, but like you could live like a king on not a lot of money in Scranton. And I was doing pretty well for myself. I had a good job at the university. I had my side hustle. I was making more than like the average like 4-person household, right? Like living in, and so I lived pretty unconstrained. I had a remote job. I could go visit my brother in Disney World whenever I wanted to. And so like there were times where I'd be working in Epcot, like just brought my laptop and was working there. And like, that sounds cool, but also like, do you want to be working in Disney World? Like I just lived in an unconstrained way. And then when I did get married and have kids and had those constraints, it was like a rude awakening for me. Like, what do you mean? I can't just drop everything and go to Disney World for a minute. Like, what? We don't have the money or the time? That's weird. And so, like, understanding your constraints, no matter what stage of life you're in, will absolutely, like, make you a better business owner. And probably a better person.
Yeah. And then also reframing in, like, I get to, right? I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, right?
When you have kids, like you, I signed up for this. When they have a tantrum, I signed up for this.
Yeah.
I wanted this.
This is one thing that I thought about during the pandemic, right? Is my kids were, my one kid and then two kids were unexpectedly home. And I was taking care of them. My wife's, and people listening know my wife's a nurse. And so I really tried to frame that as I'm getting bonus time. Like my daughter's at an age where she would be spending most of her waking hours at school. And I'm getting extra time. Oh my God, I'm getting choked up. This is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And I get to spend like extra time with her, right? So like it's all about the way you look at things, and understanding your goals really helps you with that, right? Because if I didn't have those goals, I'd just be like, oh, my kids are taking time away from me being able to work, right? But I know my goals are like maximize time with my family.
So that's a value. Mm. A lot of people don't have value aligned goals. What they have is goals like, I want to make money. Why do you want to make money? Right? Probably because you want to maybe invest certain things for your family, or you want to have a certain lifestyle, or you want to like spend money for your kids, whatever their extracurricular. So you have to define the why. So your value is family. And so some people set or borrow other people's goals without realizing their own values. So a story of mine is, in high school, I got a scholarship academically and athletically. And when I was in college, sure, I was like a great runner and I got on the team and, you know, based on scholarship and all that. But the whole point was, do I want to sacrifice my college life knowing that I'm not going to be an Olympian? Like, I don't need to be number one, even though like it was my identity in some sense to be a runner. I had to realize I want a college life. I want to learn and I want to experience everything. So there's a cost to that. And the cost was I'll be on the top 5, maybe top 3 on my team, but I'm not going to be number 1. And I think that a lot of people need to examine that based on their values.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. I didn't let go of my dream of being a professional baseball player until there was like a manager that was my age. And I'm like, oh man. No, I actually distinctly remember it was like when I was a lot older than the rookies playing that year. And I'm like, this dream is officially over for me now. It was never a real dream, but it's officially over. So, and that makes sense, right? Because otherwise, I mean, I've seen this a lot where, especially with sports, I mean, maybe it's like, I've just seen it. I don't know if it's like the same for guys and girls, but a lot of dads will foist their forgotten dreams of being an athlete onto their kids. Mm-hmm. And it just makes their kids like hate the sport. And now they're like going through the motions and like not really happy about it. Like they'd rather be doing something else. And understanding that you don't, at a certain point, especially, you don't need to like carry that with you, I think is really important.
By the way, that brings up another conversation about personal development and parenting. I think that I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs and myself included that have gone to a level of like, ooh, like the first, like at 25, I grew my company to over a million. And that was like this one big thing in like less than a year I wanted to do. But when I got there, I still didn't feel like I was enough, right? Mm-hmm. There was something there, these like belief systems. And I think that later on in life, I really doubled down on personal development. And it was huge. It made me realize my values and made me realize that certain belief systems, no matter how much I achieved, I wasn't going to be happy, right? And I had to like really look in. And then also having kids, that's like personal development on steroids. Yeah. Because like your kid's doing something and they're like, oh shoot, did they get that from me? You know, then you have to like get that muscle of being, you know, making sure you're like growth mindset all the time and regulating your emotions. Nobody really tells you or teaches you that, right? You have to actually learn it. So that's a whole nother thing, but it goes back to like making sure that you have the goals and you're investing on the right things and doubling down on it. Because no matter what you achieve, you have to know that it aligns with your values and that internally you're going to be happy. Nothing externally is going to make you happy. Nothing like growing your business bigger, having a bigger team, if you don't internally have that set.
Yeah, I love that. And so maybe we can talk briefly about the difference. Because like I mentioned something I thought was a goal, you said is a value. How do we differentiate between those two, right? Because I think like, yeah, there's a lot of, we're throwing a lot of word like, is a goal a task? Is a goal a value? Like, so let's set some definitions before we get into like the real like nuts and bolts of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, so values, it's thrown out a lot and like it's the words like integrity, you see. So I'm actually dyslexic and words don't come as easy to me. So I'm a very visual person. So what I do is I do a vision board and I say like, what's really important? And I write and I just put all these pictures of what's important and then I describe it. And then the biggest thing I do is I rank it. Because if you don't rank it, you're going to get in trouble. So what I mean by that is number one is my health. Number two is my family. And the reason why number one is my health is because if my health isn't okay, I can't help my family.
Right.
I would want to have my family first, right? But then it's like, oh, there's certain costs to this. So I had to rank them. And then now when I do business goals, I'm like, okay. Or if something comes to me like, oh, this opportunity comes, I have to say, and I look at it and I was like, where is it in my values? Does it align with what I want? Or is this an outlier situation? Now, how do you define a goal? First, I like to define it based on a certain outcome. Like, what do you really want to achieve and by when? Now, it's not set on that date, but at least it gives you a milestone to shoot for, or else we'll be shooting for that goal very long time, right?
Yeah.
So we have a goal and then we say, and I like to do it as a hypothesis, right? So there's a deadline that says like, let's say right now I'm going to be doing a century ride in August, which is 100 miles on a bicycle. So now I'm like, all right, it's in August. Now I have some challenges. The challenges is like, how the heck with a kid that's a 2 and a 4-year-old, am I going to go on these long rides, especially on the weekends when I value my weekends totally to my kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now I got to figure that out. So basically, it's kind of going through the challenges, your outcome, and putting a plan that aligns with you. Because if you don't, like, let's say I didn't go through this plan setting, then I would be like, oh, I really hate this. Why did I sign up for the century run? I'm like, not being with my kids. This is not really worth it when it starts getting really hard. Because like at the end, you have to like do 3 or 4 hours of like riding. And then I'm missing time with my kids. I'm going to hate it and maybe like resent it. But if you address those things, issues immediately, then I have to be very creative with my kids during that time. So it's like, is there an activity that they would love that I can get somebody to go with them and explore and enjoy when I'm doing this writing. So it's a win-win on both sides. Or do I drag them on the back for half of my ride, you know, put some music on, entertain them as I'm going through this? That's something I still have to think about. But I think that people don't take the time to research it, figure out if it aligns, and then figure out what are the steps to make it happen.
Yeah, I like that a lot, right? Because I think a lot, I mean, I won't speak for everybody, but I do a lot of planning in a vacuum, right? Where it's like, I think of the, and I'll do this right now. And then, in a couple of weeks, I can do this. And maybe I'm not thinking about, like, I don't know, the school year and like when spring break is, right? Oh, I was going to do this thing that week, but my kids are off that whole week. So now I can't do that. And so I think like understanding your values and then doing goal setting based on an outcome and by when and creating that plan helps you not do things in a vacuum. It's definitely something I need to be more mindful of, because then, like you said, I'm going to get to a point where it's like, I resent, you know, my kids being off from school because I had this big project plan or because I had this big personal thing planned that I didn't consider all aspects of my life and all of my values.
Yeah. And by the way, that's happened to me.
Yeah,
I totally forgot to put that in my schedule. Like daycare was off and I was like, what? I have all these workshops. Like what the heck?
Yeah. Now I have a little hack for parents or soon to be parents is your schools will email you too much or not enough or somehow both, right? Like I feel like it's like I don't get enough emails, but also I get way too many. One of those emails is going to be like the calendar for the year. Just like take that and put it in your Google
calendar. Put in your calendar immediately.
Yeah, immediately, right? Because then when they're like, by the way, school's closed next week, you're not going to be like, what? You're going to be like, yes, I knew that.
I planned it. Now I'm going to like make this exciting day. Yeah.
Yes, right. And like, or like for President's Day, just passed as we record this, like my wife, we knew that both schools were closed. My wife scheduled herself off that day because my father-in-law is away this week. And so I'm not going to be able to work because he watches my son on certain days. So yeah, like that. I'm way less stressed now because we understood that. Awesome. So, you know, we have our values, we have our goals. I think I alluded to this earlier, but when I was a young single man, my goals were very different. And so I want to talk about like how we handle if our goals change. But first, I do want to take a break to hear from our sponsors.
Look, when you have an online-based business, speed and reliability are the most important aspects of a service. Not far behind that is actually owning the website that your business relies on. When you own your website, you're not subject to an algorithm, changing terms, or accidental shutdowns. That's why I'm so excited that Liquid Web is back as a sponsor of How I Built It this year. Their Cloud VPS is some of the best in-class hosting you can get when your business relies on your website. From speed to security and protection to regular backups, with Liquid Web, you can trust your website will remain in tip-top shape. Not technically savvy? Don't worry. Liquid Web offers fully managed hosting, which means they have a team of knowledgeable experts looking after your website for you, so you can focus on running your business. If you need fast, reliable, and secure hosting for your business, check out Liquid Web. Head over to howibuilt.it/liquidweb today. This episode is brought to you by porkbun.com. Look, I've been buying domains for 24 years. And for a long time, that meant a convoluted experience with upsells and exploding prices. But Porkbun is refreshingly different. They've got everything from .com domains to unique ones like .pro, .dev, and .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies like Whois Privacy and SSL certificates. Plus, they have AI-generated search results to help find the best available domain name for you. All of these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support 365 days a year and tons of 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers. Sound good? Go to howibuilt.it/porkbun to get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around. Again, that's howibuilt.it/porkbun. Thanks so much to Porkbun for supporting How I Built It. Hey, real quick before we get back into the episode, I want to tell you about my free newsletter, Podcast Workflows. If you are wondering how I can successfully run this show, plus 2 other shows, plus run a business, plus run 3 children, Podcast Workflows is for you. You will get weekly emails with behind the scenes look on how I produce this show, experiments I am trying with other podcasts, and general advice to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. You'll also have the opportunity to become a member and get ad-free extended episodes of this show as well as bonus content. You can do all of that over at podcastworkflows.com/join. That's podcastworkflows.com/join. Sign up for free today. And we're back. So, Tanya, what if our goals change? Like, how do we handle that? We've made a whole maybe 5-year plan based on this goal and now it's gone.
Well, I honestly have trouble with 5 or 10-year plans, I have to say, because things change so quickly. So what I like to do is do a year and say, hey, this is the vision, this is what I want to create, but really get it down to 90 days and then break it down to a month and be flexible with what it is. Sometimes, like, for example, let's say I want to do a podcast. First, let me see if I like the rhythm of it before I go all in and be consistent with it. And if things change, something like all of a sudden you didn't see, maybe like you have a business and AI kind of like either advanced it or like all of a sudden you're like, oh shoot, what is my business now? Right. You gotta reinvent yourself. So that's why I like to do goals as a hypothesis and always have it where you're checking yourself. There's checking points or like, okay, here's a metric. Am I aligned? Am I still there? Do I need to pivot a bit?
I like that you repeated the goals as a hypothesis thing, because I don't think I called that out earlier, but that's a really smart way to look at it. Cause I think we can fall into the trap of this goal is set in stone and now I need to achieve it. And you fall into like that fallacy of the sunk cost, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, well, I've put so much time into this that now I need to achieve this goal, right? Or I've put so much money into this, right? Like I was a Beachbody member for so long. Because I was like, I'll do it eventually. Like my goal is to lose 50 pounds. Like I have to do this. Like look at how cut, like I can't even remember his name anymore. Sean T. Like, look at how cut Sean T is, right? But eventually I realized, I'm like, I'm wasting time and money. Like Beachbody does not work for me right now. I have small children at home. There's no way I'm going to be able to do like hour-long workouts or go to the gym at this point in my life, right? So Now I have Apple Fitness Plus. I do yoga in the morning, which anybody who's known me for a long time knows that sounds insane because I used to be like anti-yoga. I had really dumb, strong opinions when I was younger. But like that works for me, right? And that's working for me right now. And so I like this like goals as a hypothesis thing because it lets you be flexible. It lets you build flexibility into your life, which is really important because things change.
Yeah. And it's always a season, right? You kind of have to see if this is working for you right now. So for example, I wanted to do a whole YouTube channel and I was ready for it and I was ready to go. Then I was like, wow, with everything that I'm looking at and what I want to get achieved in my personal life, you know, my relationships, everything that I value, it wasn't going to work. Now, is it worth it? Of course it is, but I can move it on to later. So it's really figuring out what is the right timing for it and being okay with it. And sometimes you need the outside perspective, by the way, because you're so close to it.
Yeah, this is really important, right? And this is a problem I have and a mistake I make all the time is I don't know if you know about, it's called M-Code. It might be called other things, but like it's my friend's company and they have basically 8 or so different personality types and mine is achiever.
Which means that, like, I, in order for me to, like, feel worth or feel valued, I need to do a thing, right? This drives my wife crazy because when she complains about her day, I try to solve the problem and she doesn't want me to solve the problem, right? I've learned that one. I've learned that one. But in my business, I'm like, oh, I should start a YouTube channel. And then I just, like, do it, right? No plan, no strategy. How am I going to keep up with the three podcasts I produce and my client work and now start a YouTube channel? And then that ends up making way more work for me in the long run because, like, now I've got two different YouTube channels and I'm like, okay, YouTube isn't my focus. So what am I going to do with these? How am I going to, like, make YouTube work for me? It's like a way more complicated problem than if I had just thought, I should make a YouTube channel, write it down, and, like, actually plan it later, right?
And so think about this, like, challenges, what to do, right, and really go through it. And I think that a common thing also is, like, this was something you're really good at audio, you're really good at video, so it comes natural to you. And I think a lot of business owners, and me included, we go into what we're used to. It's like our default. So when we're achieving it, we take that dopamine hit. We're like, yeah, let's cross this off. This is going to be awesome. But those aren't actually the things that move us forward. And the harder things we avoid. So like I said, I'm dyslexic and I actually don't like writing, but writing, and people would say, just go with your superpowers, your zone of genius. So I would avoid writing. I would delegate that. Then I was like, oh, this person doesn't have my voice. They haven't got it. But what I started realizing, I think, I don't know if you've read the book Adam Grant, Hidden Potential. He wrote Hidden Potential, really good book. And he talks about, I can't believe I blinked down the comedian. He's a famous comedian. What's his name? He's a white dude.
I'm a pop culture guy, so if you give me, like, one of his bits, I might be able to help you. I'll just start naming some. John Mulaney, Sebastian Maniscalco.
No, he's an older guy. He's done movies.
George Carlin.
No. I'll figure it out by the end. And so, basically, he would listen to people, and then he would rattle. And people were like, oh, my God, he's the worst comedian. He would. Then, finally, all of a sudden, he started writing. And then he started writing movie shows and scripts. And what he ended up doing is this writing was so hard, but it helped him distill his ideas. And if he avoided that, he wouldn't be the comedian he is today. I think it's Steve. No, I forgot his name.
Is like white guy, like, is that like a big part of, is it like Jim Gaffigan or Steve Martin?
You're stuck on, now I'm like.
I know, now I'm stuck on it, right? I got to solve it. I am demonstrating the thing I just described earlier.
It's going to be stuck in right at the end of the show. I'm going to be, it's this person.
And members can find out which comedian we were talking about. Sign up at howibuilt.it/join.
They're probably like, guys, it's this. I can't believe you blanked out on it.
I know. People are yelling. I do that all the time. People are yelling at their app, right?
So that's the thing that we want to do is, like, the things that are challenging are actually the things that we need to get done sometimes. Right? And there's, like, how do you decide which ones you should do and which ones you should delegate? If it's easy and it's not that hard for you, then you should delegate. It's not going to make an impact. But for me, writing was going to be super challenging. In my back of my head, I was like, oh, I don't know the return on investment. It's going to take me 3 hours to do one freaking LinkedIn post. And then I started getting better and distilling my thoughts. And then it worked out. It was just the timeline of the results was, like, a little bit uphill. And I think that what most entrepreneurs don't see is when they're going up and down, it's actually in this direction. So the down just feels like they're shooting down, but they're really just kind of going up in the right direction, but they need to consistently do it. So I like the zone of genius. I agree in the zone of genius, but then we totally avoid it and then we can't grow our business. So there, if there's really challenging and you know this is a thing you need to do, take it on.
Yeah, I like that a lot because we hear... You're right. We hear the opposite, right? It's like, delegate everything. Like, only do the thing that you're, the one thing you're good at. And I'm guilty of saying that too, right? Like, but in the context of podcasting, right? If you're starting a podcast, we need your voice, right? If it's your podcast, then you need to talk on it. And, like, you probably need to find the guests, right? Everything else you don't need to do, but like you said, some of those things are easy. Publishing the episode, have your VA do that. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that are hard, but waste your time, like editing, right? If editing is only a skill that you'll use for your podcast, then maybe that's something to outsource. But like, maybe you hate doing research or writing the script or finding the right guests. Like, those are the things that you shouldn't outsource, because even though they're kind of outside your zone of genius or whatever, those are the things that will help you make the best podcast, because you're spending the time designing the content so that you can deliver it best. I like that
criteria. Yeah. I think what we've gotten to is like how that helps you in the long run. So editing, mm-hmm. unless you're going to be an editor and you're going for a movie or something, then take that on. But there's certain skills, for example, like how you said, if you want a show, if you want to be a better public speaker, all of that, that's a skill you need to hone on to, even if you're avoiding it. So a lot of people, number one fear is public speaking. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not going to go in front of people, your message isn't going to be there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, it feels frustrating because people are like, how do I get better at podcasting? And I'm like, well, you got to get your reps in. Like, you need to do it. And I know that's like really, that's as annoying as like, how long does my paper need to be as long as it needs to be? Right. Cause I used to teach in the classroom. So I got that question a lot. But it's absolutely true. Right. It's the more you do something, the more comfortable you get at doing it.
And the easier it gets. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I really love that. I'm trying to say I love that less because I say that after like every guest point. But I think this is, let's sum up here because we took a little side quest while we tried to figure out the comedian. But if our goals change, right? Goals are a hypothesis. Break it down into a year, then 90 days, then a month. And that makes it a little bit more manageable. Which reminds me of the 12-week year. Have you read the 12-week year?
I haven't.
Oh, it's really good. It's by someone that I will look up in a minute. And this is, we're doing real
Can we
good.
We do the guessing game.
Yeah, 12-week year. Simon Sinek. It's not him.
No.
But it's a really good book that kind of tells you exactly what you said, right? Kind of break down your time and your years into shorter sprints. Right? Because then you can goal set and achieve your goals better. I have the authors in front of me and they're like Brian Morgan and Michael Lennington. And I guess they're just really well known for this bit. You know what it is? It's like they have it's like a white cover with red writing, and that's like every business book or like every like productivity book looks like that. But that's what I thought about when you were talking about that. And then the other thing
I would even dive in a little bit even more, where I like to break down a goal and then the constraint is come in, have a boundary of 1.5 hours. So 90 minutes of like deep work. And you have, and so that's what we have our members do, where we're like, break it down. And now you're going to be working on your business for 1.5 hours minimum. And then we're going to hold you accountable to that. Because you can be a firefighter all day long. Your team, you're answering questions, doing everything, and then you're like working your business the whole time. But if you actually start getting consistently good at doing 1.5 hours, and then you're saying, okay, what can I really get done in 1.5 hours? It really is like different. It's kind of like baking the cake or doing some ingredients. Like it says, oh, 20 minutes. Like, yeah, 20 minutes if you have all the pots, you have all the ingredients, you've heated up the oven, all of these things.
Oh my gosh, the HelloFresh recipes. This will take you 20 minutes. It has never, ever taken me 20 minutes.
So that's how people deal with goals. That's how entrepreneurs do it. Be like, oh yeah, it should only take this. We didn't think about all the other things.
Yeah, that is a really nice way of framing it, right? Because something else, my friend Brian says this, like we fill up the amount of time we have.
Parkinson's law,
Oh, okay, great. Okay, so that's like a law. So I just attributed it to my friend. Parkinson's law is what it is. and it's so true, right? Like I just finished recording a LinkedIn Learning course and I knew the deadline was mid-February, right? And I've known about the course for months and I could have like done little things here and there to get the course done.
Right at the end.
18 hours over a week and a half. Like wrote all the scripts, recorded everything. I know it was 18 hours because I time track because I want to make sure like I'm spending my time on the right things. All in a week and a half. And like, it's good, right? It could be great even, right? When the editors are done with it, because the LinkedIn Learning editors are like magicians. But, you know, it's, I knew I had a deadline and I waited until like the last possible moment. And that's like, because I knew I could fill in all of that time and do some of the other things that I needed to do. So I like
that
this.
Links, by the way, yeah. Perfectly into accountability. Always have accountability partners so you have a deadline.
Yeah. This is really important, right? And maybe we can move into like the kind of the final act here, right? The actionable advice about prioritizing goals, because I will tell people, like, when I do like a guest blog post or I need to do something for someone and I say, when do you need it by? And they're like, just whenever. I'm like, it's, if you tell me whenever, I'm sorry, it's not going to get done. Like, you need to give me a date that you need it by.
Yeah, you're like, next year maybe, does that work? And then you're there, yeah. No.
I meant like a month from now. And I'm like, cool, you should have said that. Like,
sometimes you have to like tell people, like, oh.
Yeah.
That's the perfect.
The worst thing that ever happened to me was finding out that like, an organization that I do work for builds in wiggle room to their schedule. So like they'll give me a deadline, but the real deadline will be like 2 weeks from now. And they told me that. And I'm like, you shouldn't have told
me
that.
Yeah, now you're just like, it's like telling the lay person who's always late, hey, I always put like, give you 30 minutes. Oh, okay, now I know. I'm not going to rush.
Now I know. Yeah. That's why I like setting your clock. Oh, no, I set my clock ahead 20 minutes. And I'm like, you did that though. Like, you know. So anyway, so how accountability, having a deadline, I'm sure all of this ties into it. How do we prioritize our goals?
So entrepreneurs, tons of shiny objects. Ooh, I want to do this. I want to do that. And your brain latches onto it. You need a place to put everything. So we have a system called goal prioritization system, and we have categories like this. So first off, you drop it in. So like, say, I don't know, the YouTube channel, the podcast, you know, I'm going to be on Instagram Live all the time. You write it down. Then you write, like later on, when you have time, you do it every week, kind of filter through. What's the outcome? What are you hoping to get out of this? Even if you don't know, like, why you want to do this? Is it because everyone else is doing it? Okay, so how's that going to impact your business? Then you put effort. So one being hard, five being easy, because you need to figure out, like, is this even worth your time, the effort, right? And then one to five, five being high, what is the impact, right? Is it going to be big? Is it going to be small? Like, what is going on? And now this is the biggest one. The activity is three categories: sales, marketing, capacity. I think those are three things every entrepreneur should know, because a lot of people don't know what their capacity is. Oh, I can take on all clients. Okay, so if I sent you 100 clients, could you do it? Oh, no, I didn't mean 100. I think I can. Oh. So know your capacity so you know what you can hire. And then if like you're at capacity, then you can't do sales and marketing goals, right? Mm-hmm. So when you figure out what, like after you add it up and you basically the highest number you prioritize because it's going to give you the biggest return on your effort, right? In that case, then you start seeing, well, let's say they're all tied at, I don't know, 20, right? They all got the best score of 20. Now you're going to be like, okay, well, in my business, I'm at capacity. So any activity that's at capacity, I should prioritize. Or I'm having a lead problem, I need to prioritize marketing. And those are three ones you should see your business in lens. Marketing, meaning you don't have enough leads. You have enough leads, but you're not closing and you have a sales issue. And then, oh, shoot, I have a lot of people. I'm at capacity. We can't even handle anything. Our quality is going down.
This is the effort and impact. Really smart. Write down your ideas, then write down the outcome. Also really smart, right? Because I do it. We all do it, right? Entrepreneurs have shiny object syndrome. I should start this business. I should start that website. I'm going to register the domain, right? Like, take a drink if you've said that, right? So of whatever beverage you are enjoying right now. And it's true. I once heard freelancers, solopreneurs, don't die of starvation. They die of overeating. Which means that
I've never heard that, but I love that one.
Yeah, it's really good, right? Because it's like, it's not, it's usually not that we can't find enough work. It's that we take on too much because we're worried that we're not going to have enough work. And yeah. So instead of figuring out our capacity and adjusting our funnel, we just say yes to everything. Oh, yes, that's another paycheck. Let's do it, right? And
it's impossible to scale accepting everybody.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, there have been times last year was a slow year for me. But like I turned away a contract, like a $10,000 contract that I absolutely needed because I knew that it wasn't good for me and it would immediately put me at capacity. And so like it was, sure, it was a number, but it wasn't optimizing my time properly.
Ooh, and I'm surprised. Most people aren't aware to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've like been freelancing since 14, so that's like a really hard one lesson, right?
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did because 2 months later, I landed my evangelist job with RSS.com. And, you know, they're giving me a lot more than $10,000 one time, right? And
yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to do that had I taken on this other gig. So,
by the way, we should pause and just remind everybody about that because I think most entrepreneurs are in scarcity mode and they take on things that are not their ideal client and they're the pain in the butt client. And then they end up being like, I hate my business. I want to drop whatever it is. Where if you continue doing the right things, having your goals that align to your values, then you will have the opportunity to come.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what? We talk in episode 406 with Maggie Patterson about this exact thing, like finding the right clients, understanding clients, some red flags. So definitely check that out over at howibuilt.it/406. Because this
wow, that's amazing. You remember all the episode numbers.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think this is like 409 or something. So like we're okay. Pretty close. So we're pretty. I am like typing while I'm looking at you to make sure the episode, but that one's fresh enough that I do remember the number. In my younger days, when I had fewer episodes, I had pretty good, like I had like perfect recall for like the first 150 episodes maybe. And then I was like, I think I talked about them in episode 10.
Some episode. Just look up this person's name.
Just Google it. Yeah. but yeah, I think it's really important. And like this is a whole other conversation. But like understanding those red flags for clients who are going to be a pain in the neck is also like, I mean, again, I've been doing this since I was 14. I'm 38 now. And so like I've learned the hard way, right? That like you have the client who fights you on every penny they pay you and then calls you at midnight because that's when they got inspired. Real thing that happened to me in college. So and then I added into my contract, like, you can call me on the phone from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's the time that I'm available. If you call me after those hours, I will be charging you like double my hourly rate or whatever. And so, yeah.
That's it's like a reminder, personal development, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because that takes a lot to say yes, no boundaries, know what you want, know what you're worth.
Yeah.
And not land into scarcity. I think it's so easy as an entrepreneur to land in scarcity mode.
Yeah. Especially if you've been through it, right? Like, you know, I was lucky during like the 08 crash housing recession thing because I was in web development. And that was a time where everybody realized, oh man, if my business is going to survive, I need a website. So I was, again, flippantly as a dumb 20-year-old going around going like, what recession? Which like, again, like I didn't have any, yeah, I was, all 20-year-old guys are dumb. Sorry, 20-year-old guys who are listening to this. So I like lucked out a little bit. But then like last year when I had real stakes and I pivoted my business and like people were throwing the word recession around and most of my money relied on advertisers, I freaked out a little bit, right? And I think, again, even in that freak out moment, I didn't just take any money because something inside me like knew, hey, this is going to be worse for you in the long run. So.
Double down on personal development because it's not that easy to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Like my values and my goals helped me with that. Like my value.
Probably like you have three kids, so you're like, wow, if I just start hustling, sure, I'll make money, but I won't have time with my kids. So what's the point? You might as well get a job at that point, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because you know what? Like that job, probably, I mean, for people. I know like there's a lot of layoffs happening over the last year or so. So maybe people will disagree with this, but you more or less know where your next paycheck is coming from if you have a steady job. So, I mean, this is, you know, this is a hard road, but I'm doing it because I want to be able to leave my computer at 10 a.m. to go to the school to see my kids play. And not everybody gets to do that.
And by the way, with layoffs, when some of my friends have been laid off, I'm like, congratulations. You're like, what? And I was like, yeah, you got laid off. Now you can do your thing.
Yeah, this is a gift, right? Especially if it comes with a severance, right? I've never had a severance.
That's the
or a
ideal,
bonus.
Yeah.
Like when clients fire you, they don't have to give you a severance. I mean, maybe you work it into your contract, but they don't have to give that.
I haven't had that one, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, any like shrewd person probably wouldn't agree to that. Like if you fire me, client, you have to pay me for 3 months. They're like, no, that's dumb.
Yeah. Unless there's some sort of investment built out, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So this was a really good conversation. Just to recap the how we prioritize goals, was this your full system here? Are we missing any steps before I move on? Great. So write down your ideas once a week, write down the outcomes. I wrote why you want to do it. Did you say that? Or did I chat?
Yeah, you should add that one down because it's a values. Make sure it aligns with your values.
Yeah. Effort where one is hard and five is easy. I like that. Because I think I would have done it the other way, but we're looking for the high scorers here, right? And so like the easier it is, the better. Impact, one is low to five is high. And then consider your sales, marketing, and capacity. This is great. Tanya, if people want to maybe get this in writing or learn more about what you do, where can people find you?
Yeah, they can direct message me on LinkedIn and Instagram. Tell me they're on that show and I'll send them not only this goal prioritization, but this sheet that helps you focus more. It takes 3 minutes every single day. It's totally worth it. It's helped some of my members go from like working 50 hours all the way to working 30 hours and getting really smart with their time. So my LinkedIn is Tanya Alvarez and my Instagram is Tanya C. Alvarez, like the letter C.
Awesome. I will have that and everything we talked about, including the books that we mentioned and maybe the names that we forgot in the show notes over at howibuilt.it/409. That's howibuilt.it/409. You can also get ad-free extended versions of every episode by becoming a member over at that link. Tanya, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And if somebody figures out the comedian, I like literally direct message me because I just totally blanked out and I'll do a one-on-one with them.
That's amazing. So if you remember the comedian, click on that LinkedIn link in the show notes. That's awesome. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our sponsors. And until next time, get out there and build something.